From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. Today, our weekly update of news and events from Central and South America and the Caribbean with our reporter from south of the border, Tony Solo, coming to us from Managua, Nicaragua. So, Tony, I looked at the election returns, and for a minute I thought Hezbollah was about to take over Honduras when I saw it was Nasrallah. I guess that's his cousin, Salvador, not Hassan.
Right. Yeah, and Nasrallah may well turn out to be the savior of Honduras.
Mm-hmm, as Hezbollah has helped to save Syria.
Right. Who knows? And it's still not clear, because whereas the election observers from different organizations said that the vote itself was very calm and apparently well organized, in Honduras, everything depends on who wins the count.
Yeah, and also who, as Stalin is famously quoted as saying, who counts the votes?
Right, yeah. And so in this case, Juan Orlando Hernandez had everything stacked in his favor. He's got the electoral, his people on the electoral tribunal, his people controlling the Supreme Court, which, as you pointed out last time, he did via sacking four Supreme Court justices whenever it was, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody anywhere said anything. Neither governments nor the international corporate media thought that was worth any attention at all. And so he controls the ultimate judicial decision that might result if this election result ends up in the courts.
Right.
All the signs are that Salvador Nasrallah, who leads the Alliance Against the Dictatorship political grouping, mostly made up of the Libre organization, political movement, led by Mel Zelaya and his wife Xiomara Castro, and their colleagues who did extremely well in the 2013 election, the first election after the coup d'etat in 2009, but not well enough to be on their own as a party, right, to be the national party led by Juan Orlando Hernandez, which controls everything, right, all institutionally, and where they didn't control things institutionally, as I mentioned earlier, and they took steps to make sure that they did control the Supreme Court. So the rule of thumb to remember in Honduras is that no single party is likely ever to get more than 40% of the vote.
Right, it's three-way.
Now, an alliance of parties could do so, and that's what's happened. And Salvador Nasrallah was chosen. Why was he chosen as the leader of this new electoral alliance against the dictatorship? Because, as we mentioned in our last conversation, back in those 2013 elections, whereas Libre got, according to the official results, and you have to take those with a big pinch of salt. According to the official results, Libre got something over 28% and Nasrallah got something around 12%. So together, they had 40% of the vote. And if they'd gone into those elections back in 2013, they'd have defeated Juan Orlando Hernandez, whose national party, one of the traditional political parties in Honduras, got 36 plus something.
Right.
And those were the official results. But I remember very well the election night. And on election night, the results looked like something like 33% for Juan Orlando Hernandez and 32-point-something% for the Libre Party led by Xiomara Castro.
Right.
And then magically, everything kind of got changed.
Funny how that happens, huh?
Funny how that happens, right? So now, and we're looking at this situation, I had to laugh, actually, reading one of the reports where one of the election observers, I've forgotten which one it was, said that usually in Honduran elections, we get a result by 9 o'clock at night. And so they were expressing concern that there still hadn't been a result later that night, later last night. Right. And so far, there's no official definitive result as far as, unless you've seen something.
Most recent thing I see is what's at Telesur, and that still shows 57% returns. They closed, I guess, they stopped counting at 3 a.m. Last, you know, this 4 a.m. They closed the voting at 4 p.m., and as of 3 a.m., the numbers were Nasrallah 45.17, Hernandez 40.21, Zelaya, but not Mel Zelaya, Zelaya Medrano, whether it's the Liberal Party.
Luis Zelaya. And that's interesting because that Liberal Party, their vote has dropped.
Right.
Anyway, and
that's 13.77, and the total vote count so far was 57%. So.
Right. So the fundamental thing is that this political alliance between progressive forces and kind of slightly middle-of-the-road forces that ran on Salvador Nasrallah ran on an anti-corruption platform last time, that combination has got apparently well over 40% of the vote. And unless my rule of thumb is completely wrong, and it hasn't been for decades, and that you can't expect that Juan Orlando Hernandez is going to get more than 40%. So it looks like a clear win for a moderately progressive political movement. But and the reason I thought it was so funny that election observer guy said, that usually you get a result by 9 o'clock in Honduras, is that on the basis of what is he saying that? Because every election prior to the 2013 election, and including the 2013 election, has been a complete mess. Right. And the 2006 election, they took a whole month to get definitive results because the national political leadership of all the different political parties back then in 2006 were cutting a deal behind the scenes. Right. And it had next to nothing to do with the actual electoral results.
Yeah.
No, and that from that process, Mel Zelaya came out ahead, and he was expected to be a typical liberal party, a traditional liberal party caudillo, kind of just going through the motions of making progressive noises and actually working solidly on behalf of the Honduran oligarchy. That was what was expected of Mel Zelaya back in 2006. But he didn't. Right. He actually started doing real stuff, like taking measures for the benefit of Honduras's impoverished majority.
Right.
And actually trying to cut back on the privileges of the Honduran oligarchy, and that was what the coup was all about back in 2009.
Right, because he was also expected to have a four-year term, and instead he didn't, because he started doing the other things that were unexpected.
Yeah, and that was totally bizarre, because the guy who eventually won the 2009, and the coup happened something like 5 months before the elections in 2009, and I've never understood why. Because the National Party were going to win those elections. There was very little doubt at all that Porfirio Lobo was going to win the elections in 2009, which he subsequently did, under conditions that were essentially military coup conditions.
Yeah.
So why did they carry out the military coup? It's very, very weird.
You know,
anyway.
You can see also coming into this election, the same thing that we've seen with the polls, essentially being weaponized, that we saw elsewhere. Yeah. The poll that's been held out, and it's the one cited at Telesur this morning, is from Televicentro, which is the television station in Honduras. They merged the four TV stations that they had, sort of a la the 96 Telecommunications Act in the United States into one right. TV station, you know, one owner of the four TV stations. And they show they projected a result that Hernandez was going to, he was winning with 43.93 as against Nasrallah with 34.70. But, you know, we see the actual result is, quite different.
The reverse, the precise reverse is the case. And we've seen this in other elections. We've seen this in Argentina, Chile, and where else have we seen it? I forget.
Nicaragua, everywhere. I mean, the thing that's, a little disquieting for me is that very often what they do is they use these polls as an excuse to steal the election. Like when there's finally, you've had, where have the ballots been for the last 48 hours situation? And then poof, out they come. And the results look just like the poll, even though they don't look like the early returns.
Right. Yeah, and we saw the same thing in Venezuela as well, didn't we?
Exactly.
So, why does anybody care about Honduras, a tiny country of 9 million people?
It's a choke point. It was a staging area for trying to take down the Sandinista government, for taking down the Sandinista government back in the 1980s. That's one reason. It's a choke point between North and South America. That's another reason. If there ends up being a canal in Nicaragua, for example, and it ends up having some military significance because China ends up projecting power into the Caribbean through it or some other unforeseen outcome, well, you have, a friendly Honduras on one side of Nicaragua and, the canal on the other side and U.S. military bases in Southcom on the other side.
Yeah, and right. So, you gave like 10 out of 10 for answering the question correctly.
Well, there's one other too. Of course, a successful leftist government in Honduras would, it would be contagious.
Yeah, and so if Nasrallah wins, and what should he do, and what will he do, and the reason it's important is because in Central America, the balance of power has always been heavily in favor of the United States, precisely because of its military occupation of Honduras.
Right.
Maybe that's an exaggeration, but they have various important bases. They've got a big base in El Salvador. They've got some smaller bases in Guatemala. Their main base is what used to be called the Soto Cano Palmarola Air Base in Honduras, which was where they flew Mel Zelaya the night of the coup. And that was heavily denied for some time, but now it's an established fact that the first place that Mel Zelaya was flown before being dumped on the tarmac in his pajamas in San Jose, Costa Rica, was the U.S. military air base at Palmarola. So for the United States to claim that they had no role in the coup is completely absurd.
Right.
Hillary Clinton, this is a major defeat for people like Hillary Clinton that tried to stamp out democracy in Honduras. You hear all this nonsense from the United States government officials and politicians about the United States promoting democracy around the world. Well, in Honduras in 2009, Hillary Clinton actively took steps to squash democracy in Honduras. And now this result by a candidate, essentially, Salvador Nasrallah is the Libre Party candidate. And for him to win by such a big margin, it looks as though he's going to win by at least 5%, which in electoral terms in Latin America is a big deal. And that is a massive defeat for United States diplomacy as it has been for decades, but in particular as it was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and now under President Donald Trump and Rex Tillerson, the representative of ExxonMobil. Assuming that the results pan out, and assuming that, which is by no means certain in Honduras, Honduras is it's a kind of Alice in Wonderland country. Almost anything can happen. And so let's see what happens. But as things stand, and if the electoral observation organizations have any influence at all, Salvador Nasralla should be declared the winner of these elections. Let's see what happens. Yeah. So what should he do if he wins? What he should do is purge the army, purge the police, and take the same steps that Juan Orlando Hernandez took to take over the judiciary. Right. Yep. And that he has to do that. If he doesn't, he won't be able to implement his policy program.
Well, and in addition to all of that, of course, and to enable that, you've got the question of the media. They have to democratize the media.
Oh, yeah. Just if you look at what we've just said, and how likely is that? It's extremely unlikely, Don.
Yep.
And given the control that the oligarchy have and their readiness to use any level of force and violence, and look at all the murders of social activists and community activists like Berta Cáceres and Margarita Murillo and untold others.
Right.
You know, and through all through Honduras over the last, ever since 2009. And that since 2009, there's been a kind of selective program of assassination, taking out important community leaders across Honduras. There was another murder just in days before the elections took place.
Yeah, and Berta's daughter was a candidate, by the way, for Libre for the National Congress.
Well, she almost certainly got elected. I haven't seen the detailed results. No detailed results have been published by Honduras' electoral authority.
Right.
Which, and that's, at this point, here we are, 24 hours since the opening of the polling stations.
So right.
They've had 12 hours since the polling stations closed to give out results, and there aren't any.
Right.
And so what will Salvador Nasralla and his eventual government, assuming that the electoral process takes the course that it should, and that's not by no means sure, assuming that it does, what will that government be able to do? And it's a real open question. And that, going back to why is Honduras important, it's important because in terms of Central America and the Caribbean, and more broadly in terms of Latin America and the Caribbean, and the question is, are these governments that get elected programs in favor of their country's impoverished majority, and are they going to be allowed to implement their programs? Right. Because we're back to this discussion about the ridiculous idea of a conservative. There's not a conservative restoration. There's a conservative conspiracy,
right,
to stop these governments with these progressive, anti-corruption, pro-democracy, anti-poverty programs,
right,
being able to implement their policies. And that's what the process is all about in Brazil. It's what the process is all about in Argentina.
Yep.
What the process is all about, crucially, in Venezuela.
Yep.
In Cuba, they had elections this weekend.
That's
8 million people. 8 million people eligible to vote, and a huge turnout, something like 80%. I don't know what the turnout has been in Honduras. It looks as though it's been uncharacteristically high in Honduras this time. But in Cuba, they've had their elections, and very, very calm elections, a huge turnout, and those people, what are they voting for? They're voting for the Cuban Revolution. And there's nobody in taking part in those elections that doesn't believe in the democratic principles of the Cuban Revolution. But here, I look at the contrast between those elections and these elections in Honduras, totally dominated by the question of corruption.
Yep.
Is the result going to be allowed to stand, the genuine result, or is it not? That isn't even a question. It's not even close to being a question in Cuba.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the New York Times' latest report shows. Here's the headline is, in Honduras election, ex-sportscaster takes lead over president. And it says Salvador Nasrallah, former sportscaster running at the head of a left-wing alliance, was leading Monday in Honduran elections and was rushing to claim victory over President Juan Orlando Hernandez. And so...
Well, and that's also extremely biased, isn't it? Because Juan Orlando Hernandez, twice, even before the election, the polling stations had closed, and they were putting out that his media propaganda machine was putting out what they call Boca de Urna. I don't know what the translation is in English of that. The results that where you do a poll of people leaving the polling station and ask them how they voted.
An exit poll, yeah.
Exit polls, thanks. I couldn't remember the English phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were putting out those results saying that he'd won with 45% of the vote even before the polls closed.
Mm.
No, and complete contravention of normal electoral law. So... And he was doing that, and if Nasrallah's team hadn't responded to that, they would have themselves have been opening the way to electoral fraud.
That's right.
But they didn't. You remember last time we spoke, we said let's see whether Zelaya and Nasrallah and their campaign have learned from their experience of 2013.
Yes, that's right.
Where they were, and they did learn. And what they did was they made sure they got copies of all the final voting tallies from all the different voting stations. So they were able to demonstrate because in Honduras, it's the same as in Nicaragua, that each party has a representative in the count of each polling station. And each of those representatives gets a copy of the final result.
Mm.
So, and what they made sure, what Nasrallah and Zelaya and Xiomara Castro and their team made sure was that they had sufficient copies of those final polling numbers from each polling station to be able to demonstrate that they were the ones with the 45% lead. And that's how things stand at the moment.
Right.
Let's see what the final result given by the Honduran Electoral Authority really is. It's difficult for them because... For once, this is one of the few elections that I can remember in which the electoral observation teams have played a genuinely positive role.
You know, because go ahead, sorry.
Sorry, no, because of the pressure they're putting on the Honduran Electoral Authority to do the right thing.
The exit polls are interesting. This past election in the U.S., last year's, the presidential election, the primary season in particular, the U.S. State Department, looking around the world as it, as the, great hegemon and, the exceptional protector of democratic everything, has a number, 5%, that is a vector from the exit polls that it uses to decide whether or not an election in some other country is legitimate. If the exit poll varies by 5% or more than 5% from the actual result, then they consider the election has been tampered with in one way or another and is not legitimate. And that was Hillary Clinton, as a matter of fact, looking around the world for her time, or 4 years as Secretary of State. That was the yardstick by which they decided what was legitimate and what was not in places like, say, Honduras. During the primary season here, about half of the primaries exceeded that, and some of them, about a third of them, by multiples of 5%. In
right.
two cases, double the vector.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah. So, exit polls matter to the U.S. when it matters, and they don't matter in the U.S. when
it's
it
like
doesn't.
That's across the board, isn't it? And they take the data that suit them, and the data that doesn't suit them, they either
it doesn't exist,
don't report at all, or underreport.
Right.
Okay. So let's see what finally happens in Honduras. The big event for us here in Nicaragua this week, and everybody looked forward to the elections in Honduras, hoping against hope that. there'd be a fair democratic result, and we still don't know if that's going to happen or not. But the other big event was the anniversary, the first anniversary of the death of Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
And that was a huge event here. There were activities across the country at every level, you know, from community preschools right up to universities giving recognition to Fidel. The Cuban ambassador, it was very interesting to see the behavior of the Cuban ambassador. And through the day, he was taking part in all kinds of community events at grassroots with community preschools and things, doing for example, at one community preschool, the children were encouraged to color in pictures of Fidel. And, and there was the ambassador of Cuba working with these children, coloring in pictures of Fidel, you know. And that's, can you imagine that? From somebody like the U.S. ambassador, although it has to be said that the U.S. ambassador here is one of the better ones. Laura Dogu, her name is. Yeah. Anyway.
I remember that anniversary, by the way. It was shortly after my wife had passed away last year, and I was sleeping on the couch. I was supposed to go to Cuba December 1st, which I ended up doing, and which is, you know, because it was the 25th of November, so it was, you know, 5 days later. And it was a Friday night, and my Skype rang, and it was a friend who's a producer at Press TV, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning, New York time. And I said, Fidel Castro passed. I'd like to know if you would like to offer some comments. And I said, geez, you know, I've been asleep. My head's a little fuzzy. Can we do this tomorrow? They said, yeah, okay. I went, laid back down, rings again, and it was RT. And they asked me the same thing. And I thought to myself, geez, when I was a kid, I remember hiding in the hallways during the Cuban Missile Crisis over Russian missiles that might blow up our school coming from Cuba. And I said, how can I not comment on the passing of Fidel, you know, on Russian television, on Russian media outlet? So I did it. And after I did the commentary, and that's at my YouTube page for anyone's interested. After I did the commentary, my Skype rang again, and it was my friend from Press TV in Tehran who said, you didn't look fuzzy-headed on RT. He had seen it.
Right.
So I remember that night. That's my little story. And, of course, I was in Cuba while the while they were having the memorial for, you know, a week and 2 days. It was, you know, something.
Yeah, and the government here, Daniel Ortega and Rosario Murillo, did a really lovely commemorative event in Managua and with the Cuban ambassador present. It was a really nice event, and the key thing to that people in the United States might find difficult to understand is how alive Fidel is for us.
Across South America, Central America, and the Caribbean, because even in countries that now have right wing governments like Brazil and Argentina, at least half the people actually support the left-wing government that they had, even the center-left governments. And to the extent there's room for any of that, almost everyone on the ground that sympathizes with the needs of working people understood which side Fidel was on and acknowledges their debt to the Cuban Revolution. And we got to stop there because we're out of time. And we can pick it up next week, and we'll have more results. We can parse a little more thoroughly than we have this week. So, Tony, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks a million, Don. Look forward to it.
Yep. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.